All right, welcome to PATC Podcast. It's Behind the Badge Uncut with Mike Heisinger. Today we have Jacob Small and Macy Bro, both from the Cretna Police Department in Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans, dirty old New Orleans. I have both of them here with me. They're sitting together. It says Macy Bro on there, but Jacob Small is the other guy. But we're going to let that one pass because Macy will beat him up. So we're going to get rocking and rolling here. Jacob, Macy, whichever one wants to go first, explain who you are, what your experience is in law enforcement, that kind of stuff.
I'm Jacob Small. I'm in law enforcement probably about 3 years now. I went through Mike's FTO course whenever he came down to visit us in Gretna.
Good
So
times.
yeah, really good times. Yeah, there's a lot of PATC courses I'm looking forward to. There's like an interview and interrogation one that's coming up. I'm trying to hit that up. We like doing our dope stops and
Oh,
interrogating
yeah.
people. Getting all that good stuff.
Do that street side interview, huh?
Yeah, you already know.
Yep.
Right, my name is Macy Bro. I've been in law enforcement for about 3 years, on the streets for two, and then I was at the jail for approximately a year and a half. So,
We've both been
Okay.
training, the better part of 10 or 12 years, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mixed martial arts. We're both pro fighters. Yeah, anything you want to know, martial arts. This is your duo.
So it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the main thing, right?
That's the
Is there
main thing.
any other aspects that you bring into law enforcement for training and that kind of stuff? Because I know BJJ is getting real big in law enforcement here lately.
I'd say like we both have a pretty extensive boxing background. Her more so than me, but I'd say like as far as like distance management, I mean a lot of the Krav stuff, because like our agency's certified in the law enforcement Krav tactics.
Okay.
It's kind of it's like MMA. It encompasses everything. They got a little bit of choke defense, a little bit of grappling, a little bit of striking, and I'd say like specializing in boxing, you understand that distance management, where you really don't even get into like fistic encounters as opposed to like grappling to get hands and handcuff and things like that.
Right. Okay. And both of you teach us at the department, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Macy, in your background in training, just training wise, that kind of stuff, MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, what all, how long have you been doing it, and where did you start?
So I've been training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, martial arts, going on about 10 years now. I started training in Houma, Louisiana, and then I moved to New Orleans, started training there. And then my boxing, I've always done same thing about 10-ish years, started everything around the same time.
Okay. And Jacob, what about you?
I started back in 2013 and in a tiny little town called Livingston. And ended up making my way out to New Orleans to chase like the pursue fight career just because it's a bigger area for MMA and competition and things like that. And then been here ever
Right.
since.
Okay, right on. So you had, I know, because I've got you on Facebook or Bookface, like I like to call it.
Yeah.
I saw that you had a fight not too long ago. Is your or you were competing? You were doing some competition where you
Yeah.
did your debut or whatever for upper weight or heavyweight or something.
Yeah. So went on a bulk. I finally embraced the old like they say cops eat everything and we gain a bunch of weight as soon as you become a cop.
Oh yeah.
I embraced that and I went from lightweight to heavyweight.
Atta boy.
So
That means you've been eating power rings, donuts,
yep.
right?
Already
Donuts
know.
in everybody else's world, power rings in our world.
All the gas station clerks love me.
There you go. Get them roller grill going on, huh? And Macy, you had was it last year? I think you were in my class last year, wasn't it, Jacob?
Yep.
Yeah. And then last year you had a big fight competition or BJJ competition out in LA, wasn't it?
Yeah, Los Angeles, yep.
Yeah, how'd that go?
That went pretty well. That was like one of the bigger scale ones. That one was actually on UFC Fight Pass, so it had a lot of exposure and things like that. It was actually combat jiu-jitsu. So it was
Okay.
grappling, but you can open palm strike.
Nice.
Yeah.
That saves you from breaking knuckles and shit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right on. So, where do you guys look to take in the future your training, as far as whether it's through PATC, whether it's through any other agency, or just, you know, agency specific, or even just personal specifically? I mean, where do you want to go with it? What do you want to do?
I mean, so we got a lot of competition goals that I'd say we both got our brown belts in jiu-jitsu in 2022. So on a personal level, I'd say like trying to roll out. We're towards the end of our brown belt career. So
okay.
We're going to end up being black belt soon. And we want to finish out brown belt, put a stamp on that by competing pretty often. Once we get promoted and everything, as far as like the law enforcement side, there's a lot, especially in Louisiana, I'd say like a lot of the defensive tactics curriculum is behind the curve, and something we've been talking about, and we've brought up to our friend Josh Artigue at Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office, is coming up with a statewide jiu-jitsu curriculum for law enforcement.
Because Josh is a badass.
I love that guy. I've been knowing him since like 2016. Like, I've been knowing him forever.
Okay.
I rolled with his son way back in the day. But yeah, like, he's like, the biggest thing is you need to have a statewide curriculum. Like, something needs to be on paper to say like, hey, this is what we teach. And it's hard because so much of martial arts is experience. Like, you have to just roll. Like, you have to spar and get hit and get choked. And people don't realize that. They think like, oh, you just has to be on paper and you teach X, Y, Z and it's going to work foolproof. But they like, so that's the biggest thing, is putting something like that on paper so they understand, like, this is what we bring to the table. This is why it works. This is where it's proven. You know what I mean? We've both been in several altercations doing patrol work where we have to utilize the shit that we've trained for the last 10 years.
Now, are you guys using outer vest carriers or still inners?
We're still inners.
Okay. So I know a lot of agencies are going to outer vest carriers. So that's changing the dynamic of any kind of grappling you're doing, any kind of fighting you're doing, anything like that. Cause that's another handhold for somebody to grab a hold of.
Yep. I always say like grip breaking, like people think the gi isn't practical, but when you can grip a collar, you can grip the vest the exact same way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you got to learn how to break that grip, release that, right?
Yeah.
Are you guys using any pressure points for that kind of aspect?
Like no.
The radio owner or media for breaking that grip?
No, not really.
So I'm an old school DT guy. It was PPCT, pressure point control tactics.
There you go.
So that's back in the day. So that's my bailiwick. That's what I know, you know?
Right.
That's what I taught. So
I think just from experience too, like, you know, you grapple long enough, like your face is gonna get smashed into a mat at some point. So like when it comes to pressure points, I remember during my academy, they're like, oh, it doesn't work on you. And I was just like, I just have felt worse pain than this.
Yeah. You just have a high threshold for pain.
Yeah.
That's same with me. I wrestled my entire high school career and middle school and everything else. And when the instructor, when I was going through the defensive tactics instructor course, he was trying to effective release on me and hit me. And he smoked my arm right here on the top.
Yeah.
Hit it real hard. I just kind of looked at him. I said, you do that again, I still have a problem.
Right.
He's kind of backed up. He goes, well, you're not releasing. I said, you're not hitting it right. So
there you go.
Period, point blank. I don't care, you know. Exactly. I don't know if I hurt his feelings. It'll be all right. It'll grow back. Right. But yeah, so that's awesome. The guy at Lafayette Parish, I've talked to him a few times. Dude's a badass. So
yeah.
Everybody's like, hey, you need to go talk to this guy. You need to check him out and see what he's doing. And I was like, okay. And they told me his kind of his background, and I got hired in law enforcement, and I was like, so training. So as far as Louisiana, how hard is it to get something passed through the state board for law enforcement to be a certified and recognized course?
Honestly, we haven't gotten that far. Like right now it's on the smaller scale because, I mean, a lot of departments, they have a little bit of leeway as far as policy goes and like what we can teach. Especially because, like I said, Krav is pretty much all encompassing. So like at Gretna, we have a little bit smaller department. They allow us to kind of go in depth on some of the things that we're more experienced in because it fits into the Krav curriculum.
Okay.
But
yeah,
you know,
right. So in New Mexico and Indiana, the same way, both places I've worked, is we contact the head of training at the facility,
okay,
the state facility, give them a rundown. So we make a training plan and put it all together, you know, outline, and send that to them and send them the curriculum as well, all on paper. Say, here you go. This is what it is. Look at it. We can come up, demonstrate it, work through it, that kind of stuff. And then if it's approved, then they give the stamp seal approval. And then guess what? It's now state certified, state approved. And then you can push it to other departments. You can have the state push it. You can go up and certify instructors up there, you know, okay, at the state level.
Yeah.
And then they can, I know, cause I know Louisiana has a academy every 5 miles. So,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like some of the other states that I've been in and worked in and that kind of stuff where there's one or there's one and some satellites. That's it. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But you guys are close enough in that area. You got what? Thibodeau. You got Jefferson Parish.
Tanner.
I mean, all the smaller, yeah, you West know, Wego. Harahan, West Wego.
Right.
That's all within Jefferson Parish, you know? And then you exit Jefferson Parish, you got St. Charles Parish. You know, I think Luling has their own police department. Like, there's an agency. You could drive, you could throw a rock to another agency, you know?
Right, yeah. As far as the academies go in that area, like, so you got, does Covington have their own or St. Tammany?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So you got St. Tammany, you got what? Jefferson Davis, right? Out further a little bit. I think they've got one. Thibodeau's got one.
Yep.
Lafourche. Lafourche.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you go a little bit north and you got Gonzales, or Ascension Parish.
Walker PD, Denham Springs PD.
West Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge, Baton Rouge. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got all of those right there in that little area. So, yep. I mean, that'd be a lot of work for y'all to put in getting people certified as instructors for that specific style.
Yeah.
You know, that you're going to teach whatever. So, good luck on getting all of that together. I'd reach out to the state certification, the state training head or whatever, and get him on board with, you know, or him or her, whoever it is, get them on board with getting the curriculum at least in front of them.
So yeah. They
can see it and start figuring it out.
Yeah. Cause we went through like all the stuff, like we kind of branched off of and taught. I have typed like curriculum from, you know, ground from this position, what we do from there, how we get stuffing from there, you know, like from, if they're standing, if they pull away, like take down stuff, how to get to like the end goal of handcuffing from A, B, C, D. And I have all that typed. We just don't, you know, have anything finalized or went through.
Y'all are cops. You've seen cops. You've trained cops. You know you have to do step by step, or they're not going to pay attention.
Right.
At all.
Yeah. Everybody's ADHD over there.
Uh-huh. Got to teach it like it's a kid's class.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because it is.
Yep. I will say, like, Gretna, because it's a proactive police department, like, it's one of the more proactive departments in the area, they fully back us. You know what I mean? So when it comes to like what we're teaching, like they're the deputy chief, you know, we have a pretty good relationship with Jason DeMarco, our deputy chief, and then Jerry Broom, our captain of patrol. And they're both, they were on the road. They know, they want to know what's practical. They want to know what is real, like what, and they know experience talks. So I'm thankful to have people like that. I remember going through the academy and them picking my brain because they're like, this dude, like you can tell, like he's legitimate. He knows what he's talking about. And like to be in that position as a recruit just shows like the respect they have for experience. You know what I mean? And so I think just having those higher up guys that'll help me to push that is going to be huge for the future.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And your training lieutenant, I can't remember his name.
Dizler.
I was going to say, I've got his card somewhere, and I think I've got his phone number still. So
yeah.
But he seemed like he was pretty backing on any kind of training that anybody was doing and you know, really working. That's what he wants to do is make sure everybody's getting what they need and on time, you know?
Yep.
So that's awesome. I saw your chief's leaving.
Yeah.
After 50 years of law enforcement. That's wild.
In June. He'll be back, I'm sure.
He'll be back. He'll come back as patrol or what?
Maybe doing ride alongs with us.
Right. Now, see, that's what I want to do. I want to come out and do a ride along with y'all next time in that area.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll come out and play. They allow me to carry if I come out there?
I'm not sure what their policy is on ride alongs, to be honest.
Okay.
No, they, well, got, they used to do them.
I got HB 218. I got retired law enforcement, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I got my own vest.
Perfect.
Yeah. In fact, I got two. I'm an Angel Armor rep, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I was trying to get Dissler to get talk to Angel Armor about getting at least your SWAT guys the Angel Armor set up, so.
Okay.
I don't know if he's gone that way or not. Are you both on SWAT or just Jacob, are you on SWAT or?
No, I'm not. Not for
okay.
To be honest, FTO, like, they've been running enough back-to-back academies. Like, our SRT team really only does call-outs, like, once in a blue moon. We don't have a ton of SWAT roles.
Okay.
Usually your SWAT roles are going to be Jefferson Parish, and then they have their – they might have a full-time SWAT team. I'm not 100% on that. But
okay.
The amount of back-to-back academies we've been running, I've been up to my eyeballs in DORs.
Oh, okay. You got get a little bit of FTO burnout then, huh?
Yeah. We got one. We're about to have rookies.
Graduate next week.
Yep, so. Graduate next week.
Wow. How many?
Just three. Yep.
Okay, I was going to say, because there was, what, three or four of y'all in my class from Gretna?
Yep.
Okay. Macy, this when you going
the,
through?
This is one of the smaller ones. I think my academy was pretty big. Her academy was pretty big. And then we've been looking at, like, five or six since then, like, each go-around, you know?
Wow. So since I last saw you, you've been nothing but dealing with trainees.
Oh yeah,
that's
wearing
fun.
My patience thin.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. And then, Macy, are you going to go through FTO certification or no?
So they currently have me FTOing. We went through a little in-house course, but I am not certified yet.
Okay, well, May, hold on, I'll give you the exact date. Oh, let's see, where is it at? Let's go to May. I gotta get in this phone. Like I said, technologically savvy? No, not this guy.
I think it was like May 6th or something.
Yeah, May 5th is the start, so that entire week of May 5th. And Scott, Louisiana, Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office. Tell your bosses you want to go. Go ahead and get signed up. You're rocking and rolling, because if they got you FTOing and Jacob's heard the liability side of things. And
oh, yeah.
That's one of the things that I go over big time in the FTO class, because you need to know what dangers you have as being an FTO.
Right.
And then I scare people, and then I give you the tools to fix it,
right.
You know, to exactly. Stay away from that liability.
Yep.
So is that the only class you've taken through PATC, Jacob, is the FTO?
I've taken that one. Yeah, that's the only one through PATC. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think about just how the PATC sets it up and what they do and that kind of stuff?
I love their curriculum. Like, they have a lot of courses. You know, I have their newsletter and everything now. And, like, they just have so many courses that seem like they're practical for like, a patrol officer that's trying to level up. Like,
right.
I mean, really, it seems like all levels, to be honest. Like, I think they have a courtroom testimony one coming up in, like, Gonzales. Like, that's awesome. Like, we're, especially at our agency, the patrol division does everything. We cut our own warrants. We log our own evidence. Like, we all got 98 certified lately for DUI.
Okay.
And so, you know, like, we go through the whole process. We run intox, we run the SFSTs, like, we do everything as the patrol division. So I feel like a courtroom testimony course, like, we go to state court and we have to, you know, testify on our own to everything we did, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That could be a strain if you're not used to sitting in front of a jury and a judge and
exactly
have attorneys asking questions, especially when the liars, I mean, sorry, the defense attorneys get up there
yep.
and they start asking questions, you know, then it's kind of like, you know, trying to get you pissed off or trying to get you mad. You're trying to argue with you or get you to argue with them, whatever
else.
And
they'll harp on the smallest aspect that's insignificant to the case.
Yeah. 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 Why did you do this? Well, it shows in your body cam that you did this. Why did you say that to them? Because. Why? What's your problem, right?
Exactly.
Did you read the report? I've actually asked defense attorneys that when they're asking me questions and it's going on. I'm like, hey, did you even read the report? I know you got to read going to college and that kind of stuff, get your attorney degree and whatnot. But did you even read the report? That just kind of shuts them down. They just kind of look at me like, well, whatever, But yeah, it's of course, good time. So Indiana, do what?
My little brother's going to school. He's going to law school and he wants to be a defense attorney. And so we get into heated debates all the time. He loves to argue.
Oh, imagine that. And he's going the right career.
Oh yeah.
Well, he'll have to recuse himself if he ever has to go against you or Macy. So yeah, he's going to try to argue with you. Be like, you remember when we were kids? No. That's, yeah. You picked on me. You beat me up. Yeah. But so future training plans. You said that the interview and interrogation, right, Jacob?
Yeah.
And then possibly the courtroom testimony one.
Yeah.
I know your agency's pretty high on, making sure you guys get training in the right training.
Yeah. So. If we give them a decent notice, they're pretty open about just signing us up.
Right on. That's awesome. So Macy, what about you? You looked at any of the other PATC classes or?
I haven't looked, but any training I can get, anything to, better my career, sharpen my self up. I'm like, I need to get on the email list for this.
Yeah. If you go on the website, the patceducation.com, you can sign up for the newsletter right now without going to class.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can get all that going right now. So you can start getting updates and everything else as far as what classes are going. You can get in there and check out all the classes that they have. I think part of the education side of things that they're doing is once you have a login and that kind of stuff, they'll start getting everybody logins for the website. That all your certifications through PATC will be on their website. So that'll be a cool thing where you can just go on there and print it off and be like, hey, here we go. Done, So you guys still train every day, the jiu-jitsu and boxing and MMA and all that jazz, huh?
Yeah. Even on
I'm
work
too old days. For that shit. Do what?
That even on work days.
Even on work days?
Yeah, so I get off at 7, go straight to the gym, and then.
Good night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm too old for that shit. Yeah. Too old, too broken.
I know over at Mid-City where we train, Mid-City MMA in New Orleans, there's a lot of different agencies that come together. So we have like a few from Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, some Harahan PD.
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. There's some detectives from New Orleans that come train. My buddy Scott Bradley, he's a homicide detective for JP. So it's like we're all in there. Like we get to do jiu-jitsu together, but then it's like I'm making connections to different agencies, like depending on what I need, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Guy's got like 25, 30 years of law enforcement experience. So it's like, if I need advice on something, like he's a good contact to have,
Yeah, yeah, especially since you guys are doing a lot of your own investigations. So.
Yep.
Yeah. You're good. Every Tuesday, Thursday, they have a free law enforcement jiu-jitsu class at the gym we go to as well, Mid-City.
Oh, nice.
Some of the detectives and stuff that teach that. And they're both either brown or black belts.
Okay. So. Very cool. That's a good thing. I mean, get that word out there and that kind of stuff. Also for everybody's sake in the community, if they know that they've got well-trained officers, not only in kicking ass, but, making sure everybody's safe when it's being done.
Yeah.
And that they're compassionate about it. Cause I mean, I can't see the one of you getting all wild and crazy and, spider mucking in somebody and stand up and go, whoa, or anything like that. So
I gotta raise my voice from time to time.
Yeah. Is that with Macy or out on the street?
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't raise it too loud.
No, not too loud.
She might spider monkey you.
Yeah. The sofa is not a comfy place to sleep.
Right. Right on. So you guys going to train tonight, right? Going to the gym tonight?
Yep.
That's awesome. What's the goal for tonight? What are y'all training on?
Hit them with some good shit. Don't get hit.
Are you teaching or are you working?
No, it's going to be gi jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
So we actually have a competition in 2 weeks in Atlanta. So a lot of grip fighting, things.
When are y'all going to be in Atlanta?
Atlanta is going to be, the 4th through the 9th?
No shit.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay. I fly into Atlanta on the 9th, and then I teach in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Okay.
Which is right outside of Atlanta that entire week. So.
Yeah, we'll be in about an hour north of Atlanta in Gainesville. That's okay. My mom stays up there. It's a country, mountains.
Oh, yeah. It's country bumpkin up there.
It's nice.
Yeah, for sure. I've got a guy I call my uncle that lives up in that area. He lives on the mountain. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's actually from Louisiana. And he's crazy. Crazy old Cajun.
That's how it is with my mom. Yeah. Born and raised, well, she's born in Florida, but raised in New Orleans. So we go up there and it's like in the mountains, but she's got that New Orleans style cooking. And so
oh, yeah.
I'm glad I went up to heavyweight.
Well, see, I can't wait until I come back to Louisiana. I'm going to go heavier weight.
Every time
I come there, crawfish season and gator season. That's
exactly.
Got it scheduled around there. This time they put me in May, and I was like, wait a second. That's a little bit outside the window, guys. You know.
You got to get a king cake.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, my first time teaching at Lafayette Parish, I was there on my birthday, which is February.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one of the ladies in class went and got a king cake, like a donut king cake,
mm-hmm.
and brought it into class for my birthday. And I was like, oh, that's badass. You know? Yeah. Never had one of those. And then I started getting into the Cafe du Monde, the beignets. The
beignets, yep.
Oh, yeah. And then I started buying the mix. So I got it here at the house. I make it myself now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Figured out the recipe or figured out how to do everything and just use the mix and use the right oil and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Louisiana cooking.
Us too. But we can't leave.
Right. Yeah. So what's the future look like? I mean, both of you had 3 years on. What are you looking to do? Where are you wanting to go?
I'm not tired of patrol yet. I know like at Gretna, our patrol captain and deputy chief, they stress like patrol is the backbone of like modern day policing. You know what I mean? Yep. The patrol division, that's what the world sees. And to me, like, I feel like as long as I'm athletic in my prime, like even well into my 30s, I'd like to be a part of patrol. And I, of course, like I don't want to just stay a patrol officer forever. Like, I'd like to move up to sergeant, lieutenant, but I like to stay on the road and be a part of that because I think that they need, everybody uses patrol as a stepping stone. They do their 2 years, 1 year, whatever, and then they're ready to go to the bureau, ready to go to this, ready to go to that, go to different divisions.
Yeah.
And I'm someone that I want to continue to lead by example. I want my patrol officers to be proactive. I want them to see me making traffic stops, see me out there getting into shit, investigating things, like figuring, I'm night shift, so I love digging up, looking for crime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, like it goes back to the practical, using martial arts to be able to do my job as a patrolman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. About you, Macy? What are you looking at?
I'm having a lot of fun. Same in patrol. I do eventually want to do SWAT. SWAT, I like, DT, all that part. I kind of want to grow the DT program as far as either getting certified in something else besides CROV or even going to the extreme of getting our own program certified through the state if possible. But eventually I would like to go like bureau, kind of like that aspect. We also have major crimes out here. which seems, you know, super fun.
It could be eye opening for sure.
Yeah, but kind of just like how they have a bigger jurisdiction instead of just Gretna, they kind of go.
Okay, so they're like a combined with JP and some other agencies.
JP, okay. New Orleans, they can go basically, you know, anywhere.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Specifically at Gretna, like Gretna headquarters, they have a few different agencies that are all that all come together for the major crimes task force. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay. They got any TFOs in there, like task force officers for any other like alphabet company?
I'm not sure offhand.
Okay. That'd be something to look at once you get in there, or Jacob, either one of you, if you like stopping cars and getting dope and guns and money, whatever else, get the trifecta. That's one of the big things. And the ones that I always push, I don't know if I mentioned it in class or not. I'm pretty sure I did. I usually do. HSI, Homeland Security Investigations.
Uh-huh.
Anything that has a nexus to the border, you can work.
Yeah.
Okay.
So HSI, I know they've got a task force. I know they've got an office in New Orleans. I know they've got one in Baton Rouge. I know they got one in Northern Louisiana. But you get TFO status or anything like that. I mean, patrol can be TFO status, especially if you're out there doing, you're running interdiction stops, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you can basically, I mean, Louisiana's got the recreational marijuana now, right?
No, not yet.
Okay.
It's decriminalized in some places, like in New Orleans. They don't do a ton about it. I mean, I think that has
Do a ton about anything in New Orleans. But.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with politics. But I mean, you got weed in your car, at the very least, you're going to get a summons.
Yeah.
You know?
Right on. But I know that they were talking about either decriminalizing it or making it medical or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like in New Mexico, it's recreational. So anything that, you know, anybody in the world in New Mexico can have weed on them.
Yeah.
If you're a task force officer in New Mexico and you stop somebody and you get, you know, weed smell, anything like that, you can go from being the street officer for the state or for your city that you work for, anything like that, into, okay, you know what? I'm a probable cause search your vehicle based off federal law. Here's my credentials. I'm Homeland Security Investigations Task Force officer. So I'm going to search your vehicle up based off probable cause.
Okay.
And there's nothing they can say about it because it's a federal law still that marijuana is illegal.
Okay.
So.
It's good to know.
Yeah. And then they'll also give you a bunch of training and that kind of stuff based off of what they do. You can go certify with them as far as firearms, whatever. They have their own TAC unit that if you're already TAC certified through some kind of, through your agency or any other training, that kind of stuff, then you can fold in with them when they go hit warrant houses, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Yep. And especially with you guys is, you know, you guys are younger in law enforcement, so you got plenty of time and to go out and find stuff and have fun and do all kinds of good stuff. So
yeah.
You guys' signal, I think, is breaking up a little bit.
Might be. No telling.
Yeah.
Still coming through clear on our end.
Okay. There we go. I think it cleared up a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah. But so what other kind of training stuff you guys looking at or looking to do or wanting to explore?
I really want to get into the firearm side of things.
Okay.
I think I was talking to our head firearms instructor, and I think he's nearing retirement within the next span of time. So I've been kind of talking to him about passing that torch to me and training me for their certification, whatever they have to do to get to become like a Louisiana Post firearms instructor.
Okay.
Sounds like a very difficult course of fire, but he said that he'd be willing to work with me and help train me for that. Cause that's a big thing for us is like, we need to get back to it, but we were going to the range probably what, 2-3 times a month. Like when we first got cut loose, like we were hitting the range often. Like it's one of those things, just like martial arts, just like the DT side of things. Like you got to be proficient with your firearms, doing drill.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Right on. So are you guys using red dots?
Not yet.
Not yet. They're supposed
to. Pistols? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just went to a convention in Vegas. Two of the firearms guys. And I think they were looking into some stuff too. So
at the SHOT Show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Tell them to run.
They're testing out outer carries as well. So, I mean, we don't have them yet, but they're moving to them.
Okay. I know the Angel Armor rep manager in Louisiana lives in Baton Rouge. He's a retired SWAT guy from Baton Rouge.
Okay.
His name's John. I gave the info to Disler, so.
Okay.
He's got all that stuff. If they want to test those out, they can do a T&E for those as well, so.
Hell yeah.
But, yeah, it usually boosts morale, you know, putting outer vest with Molly on it so you can put your gear on your vest. It's also going to save your hips and your back when you get older like myself. So.
Or when you're stuck in the jail having to type a bunch of PCs, you can take your shit off.
Oh, yeah, and especially when it's steamy hot down there in Louisiana.
I actually got fitted for my vest during my academy. I was getting ready for a fight, and it happened to be fight week, and I was cutting all the way to 155. So now that I've gained weight, the vest that I wear under my shirt, it's a little snug. I had to switch.
Suck it in to put it on.
Like what a what a time to get me fitted for a vest when I'm dehydrated. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Now they haven't figured out that you need more a different vest or anything like that.
Yeah, I switched out some of my straps, so that helps. But I remember
you switch out the straps, you lose coverage. So
yeah, I let the guy know. I was like, "Hey, you could add a couple of inches," and he's like, "Why?" And he's like, "Oh, it's just motivation to stay on a diet." And I was just like, "Come on, bro,
I'm cutting."
Yeah, I'm not always like this.
Right on. So you guys have sponsors with your fights and that kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
Okay, who's your sponsors for your fights? Give them a shout out.
All right. So we have NutriShop North Shore. They are a supplement company, and they provide us with all our, you know, necessary, like our protein, creatine, electrolytes, anything we need for our fight camp and our fight nutrition.
He's actually, so law enforcement, side note, law enforcement put us in contact with a lot of people. So I've been shopping with NutriShop for years, but then when he found out we were Gretna police, apparently his dad, the owner is Alex Tanguis. His dad's retired Gretna police, retired JPSO, and he's, I think, a reserve. He's a reserve for Covington PD, and he's tight with the chief out there. So it's cool, you know. Next would probably be Redefined Violence.
Yeah.
Redefined Violence is a company based out of Texas. They're like a tactical gear company out of Edinburgh, Texas. They're all law enforcement, military, SWAT guys. They sell like some pretty cool. They have like a cool logo. They make like magazines for ARs and like tactical bags and shit like that for gear.
Yeah, they also have MMA gear. They do like the MMA mitts, MMA gloves, things like that as well.
So. Oh yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, my older brother, he's 2.5 years older than me, and just stopped fighting MMA.
Like
2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. He just likes to fight. So he figured instead of getting arrested and doing it, he'd just do it in the ring. So
there you go.
Yeah. And then one of our bigger sponsors is going to be Phalanx. It's going to be another jiu-jitsu brand. But they make really high quality jiu-jitsu gear, like your rash guards, your gi, your fight shorts. And what they do with us is they'll send us like fight kits. Anytime we have a competition, they'll send us a new kit. And I don't know.
They're pretty tight with them. I think he's the owner, Chris. Uh-huh. Chris Martinez is, I think he's retired law enforcement, or I'm not sure what his status is, but I know he was, I think he was the police out in California or something. But he's very much backs the police. He always, like, he shoots us messages and tells us to stay safe all the time. He'll send us, like, they're coming out with, like, a law enforcement kit for training and things like that. I wear his gear underneath my vest. It's breathable.
Oh, right on. There you go. Yeah.
But yeah, he's super cool guy. I think they're doing a fundraiser later this year for first responders. So
nice.
Keep an eye out.
Oh yeah, I will for sure. So one of the things that with the PATC podcast is sponsorship. We're looking for sponsors, okay. That kind of stuff. So anybody that's law enforcement related, backs law enforcement, that kind of stuff, I would love to talk to them, chat with them, show them what we have, what we can put together for them, that kind of stuff. That's why I ask for shout outs and that kind of stuff. So my previous interview, I remember me talking about Wounded Blue in class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had Randy Sutton, the founder of Wounded Blue, on in my previous interview. And he was talking about, you know, the different things that they're doing and officers they're helping and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's another thing to put out there to your sponsors. Like, hey, we know the Wounded Blue and everything's a volunteer base. They've helped, I think he told me last night, over 14,000 officers so far.
Wow.
In 5 years. So, I mean, that's huge.
That's awesome. You
know? Yeah. But just the things that they're doing, that kind of stuff, is something that I'm trying to help back as well. Is their stance on things. So that's why I bring it up in class. And I told Randy, I said, man, I talk about it in every single class that I'm in. I said, that way everybody knows, you know, there's help out there for law enforcement.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like we're just being shoved to the side or anything like that. Some agencies still do that. They kind of shove them to the side, but that's where Wounded Blue comes in and helps out. So,
yeah.
But they have a conference in September. It's if you guys want to attend it, it's in Vegas at Bally Resort, September 22nd through the 28th.
Okay.
It's going to be
what's the name of the organization?
Wounded Blue. So if you go on woundedblue.org, they get it rocking and rolling. They're a good group. Everybody's law enforcement, some way, some shape, form, and has either been injured in line of duty, physically, mentally, anything like that. And they are trained mentors, you know, peer support, that kind of stuff. So if your agency doesn't have peer support, they will come do peer support. Because I know Gretna's not a big agency, so.
Right.
We just, they sent a couple of us to a, was it critical incident?
Yeah.
Yeah. CIT? I was one of the people that went to that. And it was a pretty good course. There was a lot of agencies in there. Way bigger class than I expected it to be. And it seems like a lot of agencies, like, deal with critical incident type stuff, and they got me certified as like peer support to help our department.
Right on. Yeah. How big is Gretna agency wise?
We run max per shift is probably 7 officers, but we're around 5 to 6 per shift for 4 shifts.
Okay.
Plus 2 rank. I think all of our rank spots are that. Yeah.
They're awful.
Yeah. So 2 rank. So you're looking at roughly 7 each shift. Rank.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Nah, yeah, we're only what?
Like 4 square miles or something like that.
Yeah. So it's a smaller.
Yeah, but very, very dense population.
Yeah. We get it's a lot of through traffic.
Yeah.
Because on one side, you got the rest of Jefferson Parish. On the other side, you got Orleans Parish.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're breaking up again. I don't know what the deal is.
I don't know. It's coming through clear on our end.
Okay, it may be on my end. I'm in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, so, you know.
Out there with the tumbleweeds.
That's right. There may be a tumbleweed rolling by. That's why I stopped doing what it's supposed to be doing right. So. But cool. Well, I appreciate both of y'all coming on. We're about 45 minutes in right now, so... So I can get the intro, the outro, and all the commercials and that kind of stuff put in, so we're not going overboard or anything like that. I appreciate both of y'all being on here.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have any other sponsors you want to shout out to, or is that it? Or
Food Spot Cafe.
Yeah, shout out to Cafe 615 DeWabbit in Gretna. They support the police. They're just a little local restaurant, so. You guys ever come down to Gretna? I think y'all ate at the Wabbit whenever you came down, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. They're sponsoring us as well. So
okay, so that's the one we went and sat in that back room, that real long room, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, that was good food.
Great.
I can't wait to come back. You need to tell Disler to get me back over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm gonna put a bug in his ear for sure.
Oh yeah. Right on. All right. Well, I'm gonna cut us out. I appreciate both y'all being on here. Y'all stay safe, and for everybody else out there, stay safe. Serve with compassion and protect with a warrior spirit. Y'all take care. Y'all stand by just a second.
Thanks, Mike.